you have been saved through faith. That is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I want to speak on a subject that's more than I can cover on a Sunday morning, the grace of God. The grace of God is such an amazing thing that He poured out grace for us to be received, to be accepted by Him. And, you know, it's the grace of God is available. Let me just say that. The grace of God is available to us. The grace of God is here for us. And for whatever you might be going through in your life at this particular time, the grace of God is there for you. He will keep you. He will hold you. He'll carry you when you can't carry yourself. Amen? I want to talk a little bit about the grace that He offers. First of all, that verse there, it says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith." Saved from hell, from eternal damnation, and there is such a thing, and there is such a place as hell. Saved from that through, not through your own works, but through faith in Jesus, for what He's already done, for what He's already bought and paid for with His own blood. Amen. Ephesians 2, I'm going to read from the beginning of that chapter. "And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses." God made us alive when we were dead. And people who don't know Jesus, people who haven't accepted Jesus as their own Lord and Savior, they haven't accepted the free gift of God, they may look alive. Their heart may be beating and they may be breathing, but they are walking dead men, and so were we at one time. Amen? But because of the grace of God given to us, God gave us the ability to come alive with His life. Amen? "You who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." This, that's a picture of fallen man. That's a picture of a person who doesn't know Jesus. I'm not sure if I even want to get into this part of it, but you know what? We've been saved by grace. We need to walk by grace. We need to operate in the grace of God in this life. And you know what? If someone would mind turning that doorbell off. Just unplug the thing. Hallelujah. "Among whom you once walked." I'm going to start again. Ephesians 2:1. "And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once walked, conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." But God, who is rich in mercy. God has been rich in mercy. God is rich in mercy, and He's offering that mercy and that grace to us. Amen. That in the ages to come, yeah, there is a future ahead. In the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. There's verse 8 again. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. I've said this before and I'll say it again. For people to somehow think that they're going to get to heaven, they're going to stand before God, and they're going to present to God all the things that they've done, all the things that they say, well, here's the reason why I get to come in, because I did this and I did that and I did the other thing. And I think with sadness, God will look at those people and say, I'm sorry, that's not enough. It cost the blood of my Son, and you have something more valuable than that? All the good works in the world, all the good works of a whole lifetime aren't enough. Amen? It's by grace you're saved. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. We have been bought with a price. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. And in 1 Corinthians 7:23, you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. And if you're going to become a servant or a slave of anyone, let it be of Christ rather than of the world or the lust of the flesh, our own pleasures and desires, because those things bring death. Service to God and honoring God and serving Him and working for Him, for His glory, is the only thing that you will take to heaven that will be of any value. And you can't even set it before Him and say, God, I did this for you and I did that for you. He'll say, well, that's nice, I'm glad. But you gotta, you know, at the end of it all, you have to say, I did all of those things, God, but I know it's not enough. But I believed when Jesus came to this earth and died on the cross that He did it for me and that He paid the punishment for my sin. And that's the only entrance into heaven. It's the only way to get there. No man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus said. I know that was a pretty radical thing. When He said that, there were some people who were pretty upset with Him. Who do you think you are? Well, now we know who He is, the Son of God, the only begotten. Amen. The intention of God is good toward people. I want you to understand this, and I know that people, there are some people who think that somehow God is just waiting for you to mess up, waiting for you to do something wrong so he can smash you, so that He can crush you. Currently, God is looking for people to come to know Him. He's searching everywhere, and he's sending out His word, and He's saying, won't you come, won't you come, to whosoever, whosoever will come. That's what the Bible tells us. You know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God is not interested in sending people to hell. It's going to happen, and it's happening every day, unfortunately. There are people who are dying. And somehow, I hear some of the craziest things at funerals sometimes. Oh, he's in a better place. And he was just partying last night and having a good time and not living for God, not serving God. There was no evidence of godliness at all. No evidence of a connection to Jesus. And somehow, they're in a better place. I don't know. That's not what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. You know, serving the devil, serving sin, serving your flesh, has an outcome. It's death. It is being eternally separated from God. And I try to convince people that there is a heaven and there is a hell, but so many of them just say, well, when I'm dead, I'm dead. I'm gone. I don't really care. And besides that, if there is a hell, I'm going to be there with all my friends. It's not going to be a party. It is not going to be a party. Second Peter 3:9, Peter is talking about the second coming of Christ, but it says here, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You understand, it is the will of God, it is the desire, it's his intention to bring people to heaven. It is not his intention to send them to hell. And I think it grieves God more than we know when a sinner dies. But God is true. God is true to his own word. He's true to what he says. And he says, the soul that sins, it shall die. You know, if your sins are on you, and you're going to try to cover them yourself, and you're going to try to make up for them, or somehow at the last second say, I'm sorry, you know what? Jesus already paid the price. You know, right now is the time to say, Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I believe you did that for me. Amen. But God is not... I'll just repeat this because I just really feel strongly about this. People get an idea that God is some kind of... He can't just wait to crush us. And maybe most of you don't feel that way. God is waiting for us to wholeheartedly follow and serve him and to turn our lives over to God, over to Jesus as servants of his, of followers of his. Amen? That's his desire. And it's not that he desires that so that we have a harder life or so that we won't have any fun. I'll tell you what, the Christian life is probably one of the most exciting lives that there is. It's filled with some difficulties, but at least I know what happens at the end of all the difficulties. I get to see Jesus. You know, when people are living for themselves, the end of it is death. The end of it is always bad. Amen. And so, this grace that God offers, the grace of God that he offers is... you ever see those... most food packages or bottle of milk, they have all got an expiration date on them. You know, this offer of grace to all of us has an expiration date. Maybe even two dates. The day that you go, leave this life and stop breathing and your heart stops beating. That's the expiration date. Or the day that Christ returns and breaks open the sky and every eye will see him. Amen. We've only got now. You know, why do we put stuff off? Why do we keep on saying later, later? You know what? Yeah, I love Jesus. I want to serve him. I want to honor him. But I still want to have a little fun. I've actually had people tell me that. Pastor, I'm kind of young yet. I just, you know, I want to have a little fun yet. As if somehow the Christian life is going to spoil all your fun. It's the greatest life there is. There's a greater joy that comes in the Christian life than anything that the world can give. Amen? Yeah. Good. We got an amen-er over here. That's right. Hallelujah. He's coming with the clouds. This is the expiration date. Behold, he's coming with the clouds. This is Revelation 1:7. And every eye will see him, and they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. You know, there's coming a day when Jesus returns, when the earth and the world will see, people will see, oh, you mean those crazy Christians who had all those fables and myths? You mean that stuff was true? And it's too late. It's too late. It's too late. It says they'll mourn. They will mourn because they'll see him. You know why they'll be mourning? Oh God, I didn't. I didn't accept. I didn't follow. I didn't give in. I didn't submit to you. I served myself. I followed myself, my own desires, my own wishes. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You know, I tend to put some things off, especially things I don't want to do, things that are hard. But I'll tell you what, this thing about knowing Jesus, following Jesus, and wholeheartedly giving all of yourself to Him, and I know that that's not just a one step. It's a step, yeah. There's a starting point where you say, "Jesus, I need you. I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Come into my life." But day by day, step by step, it's a time of surrendering to Him over and over again and saying, "God, today I'm yours. Today I want to serve you." Amen? It's way too easy to begin to slip back into the old life. And that's why you need to follow Jesus daily. Take up your cross daily. Jesus said a lot of things about daily. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Today is the day to follow God. Not tomorrow. Today. Well, tomorrow too. But today for sure. Amen. What about tomorrow? Psalm 103:15-17. "As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children." You know what? We may think that this life, you know, we got a lot of years. I just turned 63 a little while back, and I don't know how close I am to heaven. I mean, as far as leaving this body and going to see Jesus. But no matter how long it is, even if I lived 120, it's just like that. Just like that. Just the blink of an eye. This life is a short life. And it'll be gone before you know it. And what will you do in that day when God says, "Who are you?" Listen, our life is short, and I've kind of experienced firsthand a couple things in the last few weeks of people who have died, it's tragic in some cases, and it's glorious in other cases, but you realize how short life really is. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. The mercy of the Lord, you know what? That's what He wants to show us. That's what He wants to extend to us. And when you get to heaven and you're there for about 1,000 years and you've been enjoying the presence of God and hanging out with the saints and the angels and sharing all the great stories about what God did while you were on planet Earth, and you think back, and it's just been 1,000 years, and you just go, "God, this is so amazing." And you mean this just continues on forever and ever? Yeah. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. And in the ages to come, in the centuries to come, in time future, eternity, we'll be thanking God for the grace and mercy He poured out, that He offered to us. And we'll be thanking God that we said yes. That we said, "Yes, God, I want to serve you. Yes, God, I want to turn from my ways to your ways." Amen. So there is an invitation. There's an invitation in the Scriptures over and over again. God is inviting people to come to know Him, to say yes to Him. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let's come boldly to the throne of grace. The throne of grace is this: "God, here I am. I'm a sinner. I have nothing to offer you. I call on you for mercy. I'm asking you, God, show your mercy. And as we approach the throne of grace, it's interesting that it's called the throne of grace. It's not called the throne of judgment. There is a throne of judgment, and that is for the lost. But for those who will turn, it is a throne of grace. That throne represents bowing down and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Christian life is not that hard. If it's too hard, if you're a Christian and you got a weight that's heavier than you can handle, probably you're handling more than you should be. You need to have Jesus helping you with that. Amen. He says his yoke is easy, his burden is light. You take your part of it, and he'll take his part of it, and you'll get to heaven. Amen. And you'll do all right. It'll all work out. It'll be just fine. Amen. I want to share something this morning just as a kind of a conclusion. You know what? Maybe I'm just going to tell you about this, and I will read this prayer. There is a leaflet that we've had sometimes out in the back, and I think there's a few of them back there right now, called Commitment to Christ. And some people will call this, a sinner's prayer, or some kind of a... I like to call it Commitment to Christ because it's really a statement that says, Jesus, you know, I'm sorry. In fact, let me just read it to you once. And I want to say this to you this morning. As you hear me reading this, listen to the words. And maybe you can personalize them for yourself. But today would be a good day for you to take to heart a prayer like this. And maybe take these things home and go over it between you and God. If you'd like to spend some time here, I'd love to pray for people here at the end also. If you're not really sure about your situation, about your commitment to Christ, your connection to him, I would love to help you come to know that. Okay? So let me just read this prayer, and that's what's on this thing that's out in the back. Jesus, I know that you've been very patient with me and have shown me much mercy, but I know the truth is that I've sinned against you, which I'm now willing to admit. I've even sinned against the people you've put into my life. I want to stop doing wrong and start doing what pleases you. Please forgive me, Jesus. Jesus, I believe that you took my place on the cross and that you were punished for my wrongdoing. I deserve judgment, but you've offered me mercy. Jesus, I accept you as my personal Savior. Come, take over, Lord Jesus. Jesus, I believe that you were raised from the dead so that I could have life. I will follow and obey you from this day on. I accept you, Jesus, as my personal Lord. Come into my life and rule my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, you promised to give your followers the Holy Spirit. I ask you to completely fill me with your Holy Spirit. Please, Holy Spirit of God, fill me with your love, with your strength, and with your wisdom. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for your great love and for bringing me into your family. Now, if that's a prayer that you would like to pray, basically saying, God, here I am. I give up. I surrender. I'm yours. Then I'd invite you to do that this morning. If you'd like to do that as we close here, I'll be up here if you'd like to come and make a commitment to Christ. I know most of you have, but I will say this. Sometimes we get off track. We stray. We begin to go our own way, and little by little it leads us down a wrong road. If you'd like to recommit and rededicate your life, this is a good prayer to pray too. Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, help me. Amen. So why don't we stand up this morning? And I'd like to just conclude in a prayer, but if you would like prayer or just spend some time with God this morning and talking to Him and saying yes to Him, then I invite you to do that. Hallelujah. God, we praise You and thank You for Your amazing grace. Oh Lord, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. God, we were once blind, we were once lost, and You went out looking for us like a lost sheep. And so, Lord, here we are this morning, ready to say yes to You. Holy Spirit, come and touch the hearts of Your people, touch the hearts of those who are still outside of the family, but yet willing to come in. Lord, I pray that You would touch us today and that You would draw us near. Lord, that there would be rejoicing in heaven, even over one sinner that repents, or maybe a handful of sinners, maybe a whole room full of sinners. Lord, as we turn to You, show Your mercy and Your kindness. We accept and receive the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The wages of sin is death. Father, we know that. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.